find the time, freedom, and financial independence you can have through entrepreneurship. Whether you're a buyer, seller, franchisee, franchisor, or consultant, find everything you need to know about franchising right here. Welcome to the Level Up with Nick Lopez Show.
Welcome to the Level Up Show with Nick Lopez, where we have the absolute pleasure of learning from thought leaders in business, franchising, and high performance personal development. Today's guest, you know it most certainly, goes without exception. He is a world-class matchmaker and one of the top brokers with the Franchise Broker Association. He is the founder and president of Excelsior Franchise Center, Keith Liscio. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Nick. The pleasure is all mine, and I'm really glad to be here with you.
My goodness, you're telling me, and I just want to jump right into it. You know, most people, Keith, go through life looking at McDonald's and Burger King, and that's really their understanding of what franchising is. You know, I had a mentor of mine once tell me that as long as it is moral, legal, and makes money, it can be franchised. That's really just about anything from legal to dentistry to even home services like lime painting. But no one really raises their hand and says, oh, I'm going to get into franchising. It has this awesome way of finding you. Keith, how did franchising find you?
Well, you know, I've had a long business career. Even as a young boy, my family always owned small businesses. So when I was a little kid, my dad owned a dry cleaning shop, later a liquor store, a meat market. And so even as a little boy, I was behind a counter making change, stocking shelves. So I always knew I wanted to be in business of some type. And like most people, you know, I think a lot of people have dreams of business ownership, but franchising is not necessarily the first thing that comes to mind. And it wasn't for me either. I went to Villanova for a business degree and later the Wharton School for my MBA. And I worked at places like Procter & Gamble and Nabisco and Kraft, very corporate Fortune 500 kind of environments. But I always knew that I wanted to own my own business. And so at some point I took the leap, and the first business I opened was a business importing Italian ceramics, which was a great business. It was a fun business to be in. Got to go to Italy a lot. Didn't really ever make a lot of money doing it. And, you know, at the time I had two young kids, college looming, and I just needed to earn more. And I thought I'd go back into the corporate world to do that. And I actually went to an interview with an office of a company called Management Recruiters International, which is a franchise business. In fact, today, if someone wanted to buy an MRI franchise, I could help them to make that connection. But at the end of my interview, they said, you know, Keith, we think our client would really like you, but based on your skill set, we think you'd be better served working here with us. And so one thing led to another, and I became an executive recruiter with MRI. And so, you know, I was really, really impressed with all of the systems they had, all of the services that they provided to the owner of that company. And it wasn't my first experience in a franchise organization. When I was in college, I flipped hamburgers for McDonald's. And even then, I was, again, very impressed with the training, the standardization, the standard operating procedures. So franchising kind of called me from a kind of an early age. I've had a lot of experience with it. Eventually, I opened my own executive recruiting firm. I left MRI and did that for 20 years. That was the bulk of my professional experience. And when I sold my interest in my firm, I actually thought about retiring and just felt it was too soon for me to do that. So I was actually looking to buy a franchise. And in the course of looking to buy a franchise, I sort of stumbled into this area of franchise brokerage, which I didn't even know was a thing. And as someone who had served as an executive recruiter for 20 years, it was good at really evaluating people and helping them make career decisions and moving them from one corporate job to another. This seemed like a great fit for me. So now instead of moving people from one job to another, I'm moving them often from the corporate world into their own business. And I find that much more gratifying.
No kidding. And I can see how those 20 years of owning your own recruiting firm translates. And not only are you able to understand skills and traits and mindset and culture and, you know, the day-to-day aspects of matchmaking, but that entrepreneurial experience as well. Do you find yourself having some of those candid conversations with the folks you're helping to find a franchise just about business and in general?
Oh, absolutely. Because, you know, when you're moving somebody from one corporate job to another one, you know, they already have an experience doing that. They've moved up with an organization. They may have been recruited into their previous job. So they're kind of used to that. This idea of starting your own business, though, is often foreign to them. And so, you know, going out on their own, it can be challenging, and people have a lot of concerns. They have a lot of fears about, you know, leaving the safety and security of the corporate world behind to like go out on their own. And there's two parts of that I always bring to people's attention. One, you know, there is no safety and security in the corporate world today. You know, with, you know, AI taking over vast swaths of different corporate responsibilities and the mergers and acquisitions that take place, it's not uncommon that people come to me because their company acquires another company. And now all of a sudden there's two people doing their job and they're the one that gets, you know, through no fault of their own, they're the one that's let go. And so there is no safety and security in the corporate world. And there is a surprising amount of safety and security in the franchise world, because even though you're in business for yourself, you're not in business by yourself. And so franchise systems generally are really proven. They've got great standard operating procedures. Look at line painting, for instance. You know, you've done this for years. You've got a system that works, and your job is to kind of help teach that system to other people and take that existing business model, which is really successful and really working in certain markets all over the country, and bringing it to their home market and showing them how they can be successful too. And there's lots of franchise organizations that are really good at that.
No kidding. And you've helped a lot of folks transition from that corporate life to franchise ownership. What are some mental blocks that you see, at least the common ones, and how do you help them overcome those mind traps?
Yeah, I think the biggest one that I see is just fear, and it's fear of the unknown. And so, you know, I have to help kind of ease their transition and help them understand what it will look like, you know, but not to be afraid of it, that, you know, certain things are to be expected. So, you know, when you start your new business, there will be some period of time where, you know, you're going through training, you're paying a franchise fee, you may have to buy equipment, you may have to hire people. There's a certain period of time where it's all money flowing out, and you have to understand that. But then at some point, now you start making sales. And so now, you know, the money is flowing out at a slower rate probably, but money's starting to come in. And at some point in the future, that money coming in will exceed the money going out. And that's kind of the critical mass point. And so, you know, I help people to sort of understand what that looks like going through that and give them some idea of what, you know, what they can achieve longer term. And actually the franchise is a great partner in that, not only because they have experience in laying out all the expenses and costs, but they can also help connect potential franchise candidates with existing franchise owners, the process of validation. And so people can learn from people who've actually been through this process, not just in general, but with the company that they're looking to buy into. And they can learn from other owners what it's like to go through that process and how much, how successful they can be over the long term.
Yeah, no kidding. And, you know, you often say franchising isn't for everyone. What traits or habits habits signal that someone is not ready for business ownership, even if they think they are?
Well, some people just, you know, they absolutely need the safety and security of a paycheck. You know, they live and die by having, you know, their health insurance paid for. You know, they've come to a point where their vacation time and their, you know, their PTO is vitally important to them. And, you know, these are all things that are nice perks. And when you're a successful business owner, they're all things that you have, but, you know, it takes time to get to that. And you're kind of starting over from ground zero. The other thing that I say is franchising is not right for everybody. You know, you are in business for yourself. You're running your own operation, but there's a very, you know, set standards of operating that a franchise lays out for you. And so some people just aren't really good at following the roadmap. They want to take the wheel and drive, go their own route. And that's, you know, kind of antithetical to what makes franchises work. Franchises have a proven system. They've given you the roadmap. There's no reason to go off road and kind of find your own trail. And if you're somebody that can't stick to a system, and that usually becomes apparent right away because they can't stick to my system. If they can't stick to my system in kind of learning about franchises and having an assessment done and going through the categories with me, you know, it raises red flags for me right away, and I'll call them out on it. And, you know, if they can't follow my system, it's unlikely they're going to find a franchise system that's going to be a good match for them.
You were just talking about fear as well, and executing it is also important here as well. You know, you're going through this period of ramping and, you know, as you put it, right, your revenue hits a point where it exceeds your expenses. But until you get to that point, yeah, it's a little fearful, right? I mean, think about it. You have more going out than coming in, but that is to be expected in the first months. And as you're getting the business going, it's starting up. And so in navigating that uncertainty and that fear, you know, it is, you know, also a period of time where folks will divert from the process because of that fear.
Oh, yeah.
And that fear can hijack their trust in the system and what they signed up for. And that's why, you know, great coaching and, as you mentioned, having not only the validation process with, you know, understanding the business model, but getting plugged into that community so that on the other side, once you're an owner, you can lean on peers that can confirm that, you know, hey, keep chipping away there and it's going to come through, or hey, make a big pivot. Don't do that. I tried that. And, you know, that keeps you from diverting from the system, regardless if, you know, you're just a great executor and you're in a rush to innovate the model, or, you know, it's fear that is hijacking your trust in support and the franchise itself. But those were some thoughts that I had as you were sharing that, Keith.
Yeah, you know, and I think the best franchise system, and I think Lime certainly falls into this category, you know, they have terrific standard operating procedures. They have a certain way of running a business, and they have business coaches that kind of help you through. But at the same time, there's other owners, there's people that have been through this before, and the best systems are very collegial in nature. You know, if I'm operating my Lime painting in Schenectady, New York, I'm not competing at all with the guy who's operating in Dallas. And he's more than happy to help me kind of get over the hump and kind of learn from the mistakes that he's made and help keep me on track so we can both be successful.
Yeah, you mentioned it, Keith, right? You're in business for yourself, but not by yourself. That is the beauty of the franchise model. And that is a collective force under the brand coming together to do just that, build the brand value together. And that's the exciting part of franchising, you're in business for yourself, but not by yourself. But I want to transition here. You know, you've shared stories about clients who waited years before taking action. What's the real cost of delay in franchising, and how do you help people move from analysis to action?
You know, everybody has to kind of evaluate things at their own pace. And some people, you know, do get paralyzed. It's, you know, paralysis by analysis. We see that all the time. And I've had, there's a particular candidate I'm working with right now that I've been working with for more than 2.5 years. And, you know, for a variety of reasons, she went through two different franchise systems. And in both cases, something came up at the last minute that kind of made them pull back and reevaluate their options. And I can't say that they were necessarily, you know, wrong in making the decisions that they made. But you know, they were committed to moving forward, and we're moving forward now with basically a third system, and we're getting very, very close to closing that deal. But if they had moved forward with the first brand that they looked at, you know, at this point, you know, we talk about that magic point where, you know, revenues exceeds your costs. I mean, they'd be well beyond that now. They would be very profitable. They would probably have multiple locations or on the route to having multiple locations. And so, you know, the opportunity cost, I mean, maybe they saved themselves from a wrong decision, maybe not, but if they had moved forward, and I think that the original brand they were looking at could have been a very good and viable choice for them, they'd be so much further along at this point. So there is a cost to delay. You know, in certain businesses, there's a seasonality to it. And so if you start at the wrong time of the year, you're kind of missing out on the peak season. It makes that ramp up period even tougher. So, you know, I always hope that people have an orientation towards action. And when, you know, they have all the answers that they need to make a decision, make the decision and move forward.
Right. No kidding. I can't tell you how many times I've seen folks that I should say at one point I had seen it. We've become a little bit more, well, I should say quite a bit more adamant about, you know, maybe going in a different direction. If we're noticing that somebody is not confident in executing and it just might not be the right time, or, you know, maybe, you know, Lime's not a great fit, but I can think back on some of our earlier days of growing, and we weren't as adamant about encouraging folks to go a different direction. And, you know, they may be in discovery for 3-4 months, whereas somebody that is in discovery, going through our discovery process for a month, they become an owner. They're at Meet the Team Day, you know, the following month from going into discovery, you know, those folks, as you mentioned, you know, they become an owner and are far down the road of executing. And the unfortunate reality is that in more times than not, that other example, that other individual, you know, if we still award them a territory and they come in to our community and they're an owner, generally they continue to execute in that fashion, where, you know, analysis by, you know, you get paralysis by analysis and you don't take action. You're not definitive. You're not confident. You second guess yourself. And so, you know, that's something that we talk about quite a bit, is, you know, blowing through the doors, really setting the tone. It's not about becoming a franchise partner. It's about being a partner. You know, it may seem unique, and, you know, Keith, you mentioned that you're able to help a lot of people understand the opportunity that is in franchising. You know, you get past becoming an owner, and guess what? You are an owner, and a franchise agreement is 10 years, right? So unless you build your business and sell it, or, you know, you're operating it, it's a minimum of 10 years, and then you can, of course, renew it and do another set of 10 years. But you know, that individual that is coming in and setting the tone for how they're going to execute, it does set a precedence. And that is such an important part of being a successful franchise partner, that following the process and doing it confidently. That's why, frankly, all of our growth has come from working with matchmakers like yourself, Keith, because you know, you're a professional that understands, hey, what's a good fit? Where's a good community for you? What are the lifestyle and expectations you have around maybe things like legacy or income, or, you know, whatever success looks like for that individual? There's a lot of options. And so, you know, as you're going through that process, it's paramount to lean on your advisors, your matchmakers. And then once you're on the other side, lean on the community, your peers, other franchise partners, and every support and op staff person that's there to do just that, support you in whatever part of the business that they are the expert in. So yeah, thanks for that, Keith. You know, you've mentioned that trying to do everything alone can lead to six-figure mistakes. What's one piece of advice you wish every first-time franchisee would take seriously?
Well, I think the best piece of advice for new franchisees is follow the system. I mean, you've bought into a process, you bought into a system, because, you know, after evaluating multiple options, you found something that's a good fit for you. You like the business, you like the people you're working with, you like the process and system that's been laid out for you. Follow it. Follow the roadmap that's given to you. Too many people, I think, you know, start and, you know, they often get off to a good start, and then rather than, you know, there's a variety of different ways they can go off track, but rather than, you know, follow the system that's laid out, following the standard operating procedures, they decide to try things on their own or do something different. Often what they find that they're doing is something that's already been tried and failed and rejected by the franchise, and they have to prove it to themselves that if they follow the process that's been laid out before them, they'll find success much more quickly than if they go it alone.
Yeah. And you know, those folks that are working with you, Keith, and doing just that, they're honoring your process and your system. You know, we see, with a high rate of correlation there, you know, once they become a partner, they have that same approach, that same mentality. So thank you for just coaching and doing the matchmaking. And my goodness, your career has, certainly set you up to help people change their lives through franchising, which is incredible. So thank you again, Keith. But you know, you've written about professionals who are outwardly successful but feel unfulfilled. What's your advice to someone who's good at their job but knows they're meant for more?
Well, you know, I think taking stock of your situation is really important. Maybe they've just kind of topped out in their current position, and there's no place to go within their current company. I mean, if that's the case, then, you know, one of the things they should evaluate is just maybe, you know, maybe I need to change my company. Maybe I can, you know, continue on this current path and continue to move onward and upward. But for some people, you know, careers do stall out, and people get, you know, in their late 40s, 50s, sometimes they're going to kind of hit a plateau where, you know, they may never get the next job. And, you know, it's these corporate jobs. I mean, it's kind of a pyramid, right? So there's a lot of people at the bottom and fewer people as you get towards the top. And so you may never get to that VP level, or you may be a VP and you will never get the CEO position because there's a dozen VPs and, you know, you're competing against all of them. And so for some people, the best way up is out. Consider being a business owner, consider running your own show. And if, you know, people often think, well, you know, I don't have a great idea. I'm not Steve Jobs. I'm not Mark Zuckerberg. you know, I don't have some revolutionary concept, but you're doing really well in your company. You've always been successful. You're following a system within a corporate structure, follow a system within a franchise structure. There's lots of businesses that are already successful that would love to have you as a partner in your local market, and you can be successful really, really quickly by following a good system. So, you know, I help people to kind of take stock of that. And I will tell you, a lot of the people I work with, sometimes they're in transition. Sometimes they've been laid off. They'd never really considered business ownership, but, you know, they think, well, you know, this is maybe my only option. And so, you know, sometimes they do go back to the corporate world. But, you know, I think having explored business ownership helps them to kind of solidify their decision and crystallize their thought process. And for some people, corporate is the way to go. But for many of them, they see the kind of, you know, the lifestyle changes, the earning potential, the legacy they can leave for their family. They're not going to get that at corporate. You know, when they retire from, you know, at 65 at corporate, you know, in the old days, they used to give you a gold watch. Today, they may take you out to lunch, but that's it. You're done. You know, when you have a company, a business, you're a line painting franchisee, you know, at the end of your, you know, maybe your first term or even your second contract, you've been in the business for 15 or 20 years, you can sell that business. You've got a productive asset that you can sell to somebody else or pass down to your children. So there's something there that, you know, that is a recognition of your hard work that really pays off in the end.
Right. My goodness. And who doesn't want in on the American dream? What comes with business ownership? I know most people have at least thought about it. And the reality is the vast majority of people never act on it. So, you know, if you're going through this process of exploring business ownership through franchising, that's a big deal. You're doing it, you're executing. My encouragement to you is get more and more confident in your ability to execute, because that's what entrepreneurs do. They execute and lead a team in executing and doing it around a process, a way that brings value in the market. You know, for us at Lime, it's luxury painting. That's our niche. We're in an old school industry. There's nothing really revolutionary about it, but we are the largest and the only luxury paint company across the country. And, you know, you're able to buy into that model, that community, that support structure that has, you know, really doubled down. You know, personally, I got into the industry a couple of decades ago now, but, you know, Lime is far beyond me. It's made up of many talented folks. And my point is, you're able to shortcut what takes a lot of time and investment, and you're able to get in stride through that year one ramp up. And once you are, then you're able to contribute to improving and leveling up the business model, the customer experience. In fact, your skills, what makes you special, you know, that's what makes a franchise special, is the collective talents that collaborate to level up the value in the market. So, Keith, you talk a lot about building a business that creates freedom and legacy. How do you help clients shift from climbing someone else's ladder to building their own?
Well, I think part of it is kind of, you know, people often sort of see the pathway in the corporate world. So, you know, you come in as, you know, an associate, and then you're a manager, then you're a director. So they kind of see what that looks like, and they have some idea of, you know, the compensation structure and the perks that you get as you kind of move up the ladder. But they don't really understand what it's like to be in your own business. And I will tell you, it's not, you know, especially at the start, you may work harder, you may work longer hours in your own business than you will in the corporate world. But over time, you know, you do gain time freedom, and you can set your own hours. You can work the hours that you want to work. And in addition to, you know, the profits that you're earning for the corporation staying with you, because now you have your own business, so the profit stays with you in addition to whatever salary you're taking. You know, there's other things that people just don't even think about. Tax benefits. I mean, you know, the amount of things you can write off as part of your own business are, you know, astronomical. I mean, it really, it makes a big difference in your bottom line, how much money you keep at the end of the year. You know, in your four, you know, the amount of money you can put in your 401k or your IRA is very limited by the government. But if you have your own business and you have, you know, you can put a far greater amount away for your retirement tax-free. So, you know, you're setting yourself up for future success and future financial freedom down the road because you're paying less taxes on more of the income that you're earning. So there's just lots of benefits that people just don't understand. And so helping them to understand what some of those benefits are, I think is a real motivator.
Mm. Well said. And, you know, when you do sell your business, guess what? That is outside of what you need to pay Uncle Sam. You know, those are your proceeds. And, you know, another favorite item that I just appreciate is, well, guess what? When you want to go on vacation or, you know, help out with the kiddos' sports or activities, or you just want to go for a random trip, for a quick getaway to the beach or the mountains, whatever it is, you know, you're your own boss. So it's not that difficult.
Yeah, you know, earlier in my career, you know, when I was working for Kraft, I literally came back from my honeymoon, hadn't even unpacked my bags. I went to work the next day and I got there that morning and they said, oh, thank God you're back. We need you in Grand Rapids right now. And so I had to literally like run home, repack a bag, get on a plane and leave. And, you know, that was kind of the time demands that were put on me and it would have continued to be put on me as long as I stayed there because that was just part of the job. I mean, you had to go where you needed to be when you needed to be there. And while that's still the case in my own business, but, you know, when my kids were in school, I mean, I never missed a soccer game. I got to coach both of my kids in soccer. I coached my son in baseball. You know, I never missed extracurricular activities. My daughter was a theater kid. I never missed one of her performances. My son was, you know, he was a mathlete. I took him all over the state to go to math competitions. I wouldn't have had that kind of time freedom if I was stuck in a corporate environment. So, you know, even though, you know, in especially when I had the Italian ceramic business, I wasn't making the kind of money I wanted to make. I did have that time freedom, which really made it worthwhile for me.
Yeah, everybody's combination of success, is made up of all of those benefits and features of being a business owner. My favorite is being able to quickly have a conversation with my boss and get approval. It's not that complicated. So Keith, so many wonderful things to discuss about franchising, but I would love to hear from you. Why do you love franchising so much?
Well, the thing I like about it is that it enables, and I hate to use the term ordinary people, but really, you know, people who may not have, you know, may not be exceptional in kind of a corporate world. They may not be an all-star. They may not be the president of a Fortune 500 company, but it allows people that have really good skills and a good work ethic to be really, really successful and to live life on their own terms. So it's not just about the money you make, although you can make a lot of money. It's about the time freedom you have. It's the lifestyle you have. You can go where you want, when you want. And, you know, you've got support along the way. I mean, we all use this phrase over and over and again. You know, we beat it to death, but you're in business for yourself, but not by yourself. So, you know, in so many ways, you know, when my dad was running his small businesses, you know, he had to make every decision himself. He didn't have anybody he could turn to. He didn't have somebody he could ask for advice. He had to figure out everything on his own. He did a great job and, you know, put me through college and, got me off to a great start. But I know he could have done so much more if he'd had the right support around him. And when I see people going into franchise systems, they have that level of support and they can achieve that kind of financial freedom and time freedom to live the life they want to live.
So well said, Keith. If anybody would like to get in touch with you to learn more, how can they do that?
Well, I'm on LinkedIn. They can look for me under my own name, Keith Licio. My company is called Excelsior Franchise Center. You can reach out to us through LinkedIn or through our website at excelsiorfranchisecenter.com.
Keith Licio, you heard it from him here on the Level Up Show. My goodness, if you enjoyed this show as much as I did, please hit that subscribe button. It is how we are able to continue to grow and bring thought leaders like Keith onto the show. Keith, thank you again for being on the show.
Well, Nick, thanks for having me here. I really appreciate the opportunity, and keep up the good work with Lime Painting. You're one of my favorite brands, and I wish you much continued success.
Love it. Appreciate it. And as always, level up.
And ever upward.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Level Up with Nick Lopez Show. Remember, it's never too late to get started on your entrepreneurial journey. Don't forget to subscribe, like, and share if you enjoyed today's segment. Catch us again next week and visit limepainting.com for more of the Level Up with Nick Lopez Show.